Right, okay, so Jamie, welcome to the John Covey podcast. This is episode 83. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, John. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. Even better because the sun's shining. Quality. Right, so Jamie, so you help businesses and property investors source finance.
I do indeed, yes.
Exciting. Tell me about it.
Yes, so like I said, there's two parts of the business. So one side of it is property investors and developers. So we help them with their projects to secure funding for it. So whether that be people doing flips or ground up developments or just looking to refinance their portfolios, we can help out with that. And then we've got the other side of the business, which is more about the business finance side of things. So these are businesses that are looking to grow and develop, but also businesses that may be struggling, have cash flow issues, and are looking at ways that they can overcome that. We would go into business, have a sit down with them, talk for exactly what they want, and pull together sort of a bespoke package for them with the variety of lenders and products that we've got.
Fantastic. Good. Which side do you prefer? Do you prefer the business side or the property side?
Oh, God, tough question, John. Just tough question. So for me, personally, it's probably the business side of things that I enjoy the most. And I think that's because you go into business, you see that they either don't know where they're going or they're sort of stuck in a rut and need a bit of help. And when you can actually put that solution in place for them and see them thrive and develop, that gives you some really good, you know, good feeling inside you. So that's what I really like the best.
Yeah. Sure. So, and this is not new to you. I mean, you've been doing this for a long, long time, haven't you? You've been like Halifax, who was it? Lloyd's Banking Group.
Lloyd's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's about 14 years in banking I've been doing this. So, quite a bit of experience in this.
What took you into the banking industry initially?
Banking industry? I was working there when I was at university. So I was at uni and got a part-time job as a cashier. Mm-hmm. So at the weekends and when I wasn't at uni, I was down in the bank giving people money and helping them. So that's where it sort of started and it sort of flourished from there. That I never really left.
Never really left you.
No, definitely not.
And I mean, how different is what you do to what you'd expect from a bank?
Yes, I think, you know, when I started working in the bank, which was probably 2006 or something like that, 2005, 2006, you know, since then there's been lots of changes. And part of the reason why I wanted to set up this business and do what I'm doing is to bring back a bit more of a personal service to people. Mm. So, you know, we're not someone at the end of the phone who's faceless or, you know, you ring up and you speak to about 20 different people. First we want to, you know, our main aim is to support local businesses, so sort of across the Yorkshire area, and we want to do that by going out and really getting to know those businesses and individuals really well, and helping them through the process. So, you know, we're there right from the start of an application, even if it's just a bit of a people don't know where to turn to all the options available, that's where we generally start, all the way through to, you know, getting them the funds in the account and then working with them beyond that as well.
What was the reason for you going into business for yourself and not just staying within the banking industry?
Yes, one of the reasons, one of the main reasons for me was family life. So when I was working in the bank, it was, you know, I was based up in Leeds, so a bit of a commute for me, and traveling sort of all over the place, London, Bristol, Edinburgh. And then sort of thought to myself, God, you know, I've got a little one at home now. For me, I want to spend some more time at home, see him grow up, be part of his life rather than being sort of leaving the house at 7 o'clock in the morning, not getting back to 7 at night.
Yeah.
So I thought, what better way to spend some time is to go self-employed on that front. And actually, because that's really easy to do, John, isn't it? Go self-employed. So I thought to myself, go self-employed, be my own boss, means that I can, you know, work out my time as to how I want to, and really put something in place to support my family going forward as well.
Awesome, mate. Awesome. That's fantastic. And how are you finding that? Are you getting to spend more time at home or is it just the same?
I think it's being disciplined. So One thing that I always said was 5 days was always daddy daycare. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we tried to do. Daddy daycare Friday.
And I know you're succeeding at that.
Yeah, there's the few times when, you know, things crop up, but we sort of work around it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I might on a Friday work in the morning and then have the afternoon off. But for me, because it's in the diary and I know that Friday afternoons, that's it. That's my time with the kids.
Sure.
And it, you know, I make sure that happens. Yeah, especially whilst they're young and you can't turn back the clock. So in a few years' time, that might be something completely different. But yeah.
Of course. And so in terms of like you stopping work to go and pursue your own career, your own business. I mean, like, was it scary? Was it daunting? I mean, how did you approach that?
How I approach it? God, yeah. I think it's definitely scary. It's definitely daunting. And I think, you know, you're not going to be a millionaire overnight or anything like that. So it's working on those small things and changing things and, you know, improving as you're constantly going on. I think one thing that shocked me was actually the amount of support out there from people.
Okay.
So actually, you know, existing businesses that we were going in, obviously networking is a key thing that I was doing. Sure. So going in and the support from people that were already been in business for a long time has been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I think you can learn a lot from those people that, you know, if you've got a problem or issue, it's worth opening up to them so that, you know, someone else has probably been through that same position and can help you get through it.
Of course. Did you find that came from, like, what, from clients or from networking or, like, where did you find you got the most support?
Yeah, definitely from networking. I think the amount of support that was there has been, you know, absolutely fantastic. You know, you meet businesses of all different ages that have been through it. So, yeah, you can really learn a lot from them.
Awesome, mate. Awesome. So what's been the biggest challenges so far then? So you've got, obviously, that it was a lot more supportive than you initially thought it would be. But what about the challenges? What's been the big challenges for you?
Biggest challenge? I think for me, the biggest challenge is actually getting clients in and sort of getting yourself known and out there. So obviously when someone new comes to the market, it's, you know, other people ask, well, why should I switch and come to you, etc. So for me, that's been quite challenging to, you know, to get myself out there and start to shout about what I do, because believe it or not, I'm quite shy and quiet on that one, John. I know you don't believe that, but yes, I am. So yeah, that's been my biggest thing, is really shouting about what I'm doing and, you know, and getting new clients on board. Yeah.
How did you overcome that and like, you know, what did you do to put yourself out there?
Yeah, so I think you've just got to throw yourself into situations that you're slightly uncomfortable with. So, you know, there's no point being in your comfort zone all the time and, you know, starting to go, well, you know, I probably would never do this before. So tricking yourself into a situation where you know you've got people there supporting you as well, so it's not really that scary. And I think as well, being in business, you know that you've just got to get on and do it. You know there's no point sitting at your desk for hours on end going, oh, what if. It's just a case of just get on and do it. And you know, I think the biggest thing that I've learned as well is there's no such thing as mistakes. It's just learning from them. So sometimes we make a mistake and we think, oh god, I made a mistake, oh no, that's gone really rubbish. But it's a case of, well, actually, it's just, how do you do it better next time? And how do you not make that mistake again?
Of course, that makes total sense. And so in terms of you getting out there and doing it, you said a couple of times then that you've just got to get on with it and just do it. Like for you, what would getting on and do it be?
Get on and do it. So for me, it's not thinking about things too much. So, I think my background's always been quite analytical and quite numbersy. So, you know, I tend to think about things quite a lot. Mm-hmm. So if someone asks me to do something, it's more of a case of going, well, yeah, go on, then I'll do that. And just get on and do it. And then worry about it later on, really.
Do it anyway.
Do it anyway. Yeah, get on. Life's too short, so just go and do it.
Of course. So how long has it been now? So you've been in business now for, how long is it now?
Oh, God, probably about 18 months or so.
Yeah, year and a half, 18 months or so, yeah. And so, I mean, quite interesting, like, through this journey, almost probably about a year, was it a year into your business, you got some unexpected, well, Was it unexpected news, or was it kind of planned, or there's something that certainly...
I don't think it was ever planned. People might say it might be, but no, I don't think it was ever planned.
But obviously somebody that's very early on in their business, where they should be, you know, be able to work hard and not worry too much about having to find more finances to do things, you decided to go and get your wife pregnant for the second time. I don't know. So challenges, what we're just talking about then is that, you know, a year-ish into your business, you found out that you was expecting with your second child, who's now 4 months old. Been obviously a bit more challenging, a bit more pressure. How did you get through that? Like, what did you use as a driving force to pull you through that?
So I think for me, it's remembering why I set up the business.
Sure.
Which, you know, the motivation behind it was to spend more time at home with the family, to have, you know, that really good relationship with them and to spend time with them. So it's a case of going, well, actually, this is what I set up the business. It gave me a bit more of driving force actually behind it to go, right, God, I've got two kids now. This really needs to be a success on that front. You know, I can't be messing around with this anymore. Right, time to knuckle down and get on and do things.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a bit more of a drive to actually get on and do things and you know, make it the success that needs to be.
Good man. Good man. So in terms of like what you do with the businesses side, let's just look at the businesses side. Because that's the side that you enjoy the most. So we'll talk about business. Like, I mean, like, why would a business come to you? Other than obviously the fact that Jamie's going to look after them, but I mean, aside from that, like, why would a business come to you as opposed to going to a bank?
Yes, I think again, you know, we've got a huge panel of lenders, so we've got over 200 lenders on our books that we use. So we do have some high street banks on there, but we've got a variety of people. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's for us, it's we're able to give people a few more options than what we just go to if they went to the bank.
Sure.
So, you know, it's about different things, about different rates, different products, different fees associated with them. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the most important things is the speed of actually getting your money. So,
okay.
You know, do you want your money tomorrow or do you want it in a few weeks, a few months' time
okay.
on that basis?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's... and. Because we get to know our clients and understand them, we know what sort of, you know, how they are in terms of the credit worthiness, et cetera. So we know exactly which lenders are going to accept their applications and which ones we can put them with.
Of course, that makes total sense. So, I mean, like you said credit worthiness. I mean, I suppose the kind of, I suppose some people looking from the outside in, I think that, would people necessarily look at you as an alternative to lending if their credit worthiness is not intact and not in a place that the bank would be happy with? Is that?
Yeah, definitely. So we get quite a few of our clients say, I've been to my bank and the bank has said no to us on that front. And it's a case of, you know, then they sort of don't really know where to turn to.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. I get clients that come to us and say, oh, my credit rating is really bad. I'm never going to get lending. And when you start to talk to them, you actually, you know, they've had a blip probably, you know, maybe 5 years ago or something like that. Uh-huh. So it's, you know, it's not as bad at all. It's not always doom and gloom as people think.
Sure.
You know, we've got lenders out there that, you know, if people have had mispayments in the past and things like that, then, you know, they're willing to look at that now. And that's probably where the alternative lenders really, really come in and help out in that space.
Right, yeah. So for people out there what's listening, there's hope is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think there's always hope, and I think it's a case of, you know, having those conversations about what we can do and also what we can't do for you. So, you know, if we know from our earlier conversations that a case isn't going to proceed, then it's a case of going, right, you know, it's not right for you now, but how do we get you into that position so it is right for you? And that's the other side that we can then help with to say, you know what, it might be 6 months, a year down the line before we look at this again.
Sure.
But then you'll be in a better position to obtain the finance.
Got you. So I mean, like, in terms of Joe Public, who's, you know, got a business, or he's got a business idea, or maybe they're running the business already, and they want to raise some extra capital for whether it's growth or equipment or whatever it may be, but he's got, I don't know, maybe a bankruptcy behind him 10 years ago, he's got maybe a couple of CCJs from a few years ago. Do you know, like, does he still qualify? Is there help for him, or does he just need to get his nose to the ground?
Yeah, I think that's always helped. So we have helped people that have been made bankrupt before, that we've managed to get lending for, companies that have gone into liquidation again, that you know that's been, you know, 5 years ago that we've helped get money for, etc. So yeah, I think it's always worth having a conversation to see actually, you know, what the situation is. And that's where we come into it to assess it, to go actually, yeah, there is some lenders out there for you, or no, it's not right for you at this moment. But right. Yes, I think people already are doing that. So, and this is where, because we've got the broad range of lenders, we know the right lenders that we can approach. So, you know, the high street banks have got their place. So, you know, if you've got that fantastic credit score and everything like that, then yeah, the high street banks are the place for you. But, you know, if you have had those blips on it, then it's where those alternative lenders do come into their forte, and can really help people. So a lot of the lenders sometimes, you know, we're talking directly to the underwriters or the people, you know, the directors of actual money that they're lending it.
Yeah.
So we can have a really good conversation with them, you know, explain the whole thing, which is, you know, sometimes we call it storybook lending, which, you know, it's not always about the numbers or the credit score. It's about the story behind the lend.
Sure.
So if you can get the story across, you know, why there's potentially blips on the credit file, what's happened, what are they doing now, how the business is performing, etc. Then yeah, so the alternative lenders are really good at that.
And what kind of things do you find that you're typically helping people raise money for?
Yeah, so we do a lot where people potentially might have won new contracts, for example. And they, you know, they've got fantastic contracts on, but don't have the money to actually start that work. So we're sort of releasing money up front for them to enable them to start that work and grow and develop. So they might be looking to, you know, take on some new staff or buy some new machinery, aspects like that. All the way through to people that, you know, potentially might have people that aren't paying them through their invoices and have got really stuck with you know, outstanding invoices, which, you know, it's really going to hurt their cash flow. And again, we can help them to sort of release that money for them and take that pressure away to know that they're going to get that money, rather than having to constantly chase other people for it.
Got you. So would you, or can you arrange like invoice financing for them as well then? Is that part of the service?
Yeah, that's part of the service. Yes, invoice financing is one of the products that we can help source for them.
So so for everyone listening, what is invoice financing, just so people's got some idea of it?
Yes, so invoice financing is where obviously, you know, people are issuing an invoice potentially on, you know, 30, 60, you know, if you've got some big clients, maybe 120-day terms, etc. And what invoice financing allows you is to get your money, or a percentage of your money up front. That could be anything from 70% up to 100% of your money up front. And then you just pay a fee for that. And then when your invoices come in, it basically pays that off. It's almost like a big overdraft facility, really. Probably one of the good ways of explaining it.
Sure, makes sense. So what's next for Jamie then?
What's next for Jamie? God, good question, John. So I think for us, next is growing the business even further. So we're getting to the stage now where, you know, being just me is probably having a capacity issues for us. So we're now looking to put, you know, probably by the end of this year, looking to expand out and take on some staff, which will be a bit of another scary move, but something that we need to do as part of the business on that front. And again, that will just enable us to, well, for me to do the things that I enjoy the most and not be stuck in an office doing printing or scanning or admin type things on that front, but actually going out and, you know, seeing clients and being able to really help them.
Of course, of course. Do you want to travel more? Do you want to stay more local? What's the plan for you?
Yes, I think our key has always been to be local. You know, so we can work nationally and we do have national clients. So, you know, we've got people up in Edinburgh down to London. But our real key, and probably, you know, if we look at sort of our values and what we want to do, is to help local businesses. So it's, you know, it's supporting, you know, people within Yorkshire and the Humber, you know, potentially into sort of the Midlands area, to really help those guys.
Got you. And I suppose that way then it ties into your original plan of being you've been able to spend more time at home. I'm just thinking, with you spending more time at home, is it not? I can't get my words out there. With you spending more time at home, is that not a bit of a realization that actually I need to spend a bit more time away?
probably now. But I think, you know, once the kids grow up and everything like that, so, you know, once they start going to school, then I probably will have more time to do other things, you know, away. I think for me it's important at the moment, you know, whilst they're young, you know, we're never going to get this time back, unless we have another one, which hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
Because I'm going grey already, so that's it. So it's important now whilst they're young to have that quality time. And then, you know, once they're at school, that, you know, that brings different challenges, but also different opportunities as well for us.
Yeah. Brilliant. Jamie, that's great. That is there any questions that I've not asked you that you think that the listeners would get value from?
What this was getting value from? I think for me, a lot of people come to us asking about finance. So there's probably a couple of things that I would say is, when you're starting up, rarely understand the structure that you want to start up as, whether it be sole trader or limited, because if you start changing things as you go through, that causes a few issues. And really know your numbers as a business. So, you know, get a good accountant on board, know your numbers, and, you know, really follow those through, because those are the sort of things that lenders like and will be asking questions about.
Got you. And why would they not? I mean, what would you find, what's the reasons that they don't have that in order, would you say? Like, what do you find when you're speaking with them?
Yes, I think it's people like, we, you know, part of our application and fact finding things, we were asked for things like management accounts. You know, so how are businesses performing in between their, you know, their formal accounting periods? And it's probably quite interesting, the amount of people that turn around to me and go, what's management accounts? What's one of those? You know, so I think it's really important that as a business you understand your numbers, because it's then the case, you know, do you actually need the lending or not? You know, if you're not close to your numbers, can you afford the lending? Do you need it? It probably raises more questions than answers.
Of course. And what advice would you give to somebody who doesn't know what that is, and like, how would they go about getting started with it? Like, if, do you know, like, what would your advice be?
Yeah, so I think for me is if you've got your accountant, speak to your accountant, because they should be the ones that are really helping you on that front. I think now with all the cloud accounting software, it's becoming easier for people to do it on that basis. Or if you're really stuck, just give us a call and ask us, and we can talk you through how to set up a really, almost an idiot's guide to one. So a really simple, straightforward one for you as well.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Jamie, that's fabulous. Where can people find out more about you and your services?
Yeah, so you can find out more about us. So our website is jjcommercialfinance.co.uk. Or you can give us a call, which is probably the best thing to do to chat things through, which is 01709 805 624.
Fantastic. Did you have to look at that then?
I didn't. I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head. it's a new number, so that's it.
Fantastic, Jamie. And then finally, just to wrap it up, just to kind of come back to what we were talking about at the start with the property investment side of finance.
Yeah.
So this is like big projects, small projects, or everything in between?
Yeah, it's pretty much, you know, everything and anything, really. So it might be people that have got small projects on where they're buying below market value, and, you know, doing them up to add some value to sell on. Or it could be people that have got huge portfolios that they want refinancing. So, you know, we've done stuff, you know, people buying 50k's worth of houses, all the way through to, you know, we've got a property deal going through at the moment that's looking at £1.3 million of lending. So, you know, everything, you know, in between that and beyond, really.
Right. And I mean, would you purely just arrange and source the finance, or could you even help with the sourcing of property?
Yeah, so I guess in terms of sourcing property, it's probably not our thing on that front. So, you know, our thing is arranging the finance. But saying that, we've got some quite good contacts with property sources that we work with across the area as well. So if people come to us saying, this is what I'm looking for, we can potentially refer them on to someone else to help source that property for them.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, Jamie, that's been wonderful. We've had a few technical blips, but I think we managed to get through it fine. We might be a little bit of editing, but I think that for the most part, we did well. Brilliant. Jamie, thanks so much for your time. That's been incredible. Thank you.
Well, fantastic. Cheers, John.